Good morning. It is good to see all of you. Like Jared is saying, the weather's been kind of crazy, hasn't it? And there was times where I thought the trees in the backyard would be in my neighbor's yard. So it's pretty interesting, but I'm glad that you're here this morning, that you chose to get up and start your day worshiping together. I don't know if you ever cut yourself not singing, but just listening to the amazing voices when we gather together to worship the Lord. It's pretty incredible. So my name is Gina Nicola, if you don't know who I am, and I am on staff here and part of the teaching team, but I spend the majority of my time as a marriage and family therapist. We have a counseling center here at New Life, and we see people ages 13 and all the way up to whatever. And so I love doing it. It's what I feel like I'm called to do, and I absolutely enjoy what I do. But it's interesting when I have to go do like a social event with my husband, where he takes me to things that he has to do for work, and people are like, hey, what do you do for a living? And I'm like, I'm a therapist. They're kind of like, oh. And then there's two groups of people. There's the group of people who are like, oh, so I have this 13-year-old kid. And I would like to know, and so they start going down that. Or those who are like, okay, so my spouse does this, and I read on Google, and so what would you diagnose them with? And they like get into this counseling thing, and you instantly catch yourself going into counseling mode, and that is exactly what I do. But then there's the other group of people who are like, what do you do? And you're like, I'm a therapist. Oh. And I've asked a few people who walk away, like, why do you walk away after I got to know them a little bit? And they're like, well, I just assume that you are judging me the moment I realize you're a therapist, that you're watching me and you're listening to me and now you're diagnosing me. And I'm like, wow, I do not do that. Really what's happening is I'm trying to not be weird. I am socially awkward. And so really, you think I'm diagnosing you, and all I can try and figure out is, what do I say next? Am I sweating? Do I look weird? I don't know what I'm doing. And so it's just kind of interesting. But I love what I do, and I love talking about mental health and dealing with mental health issues. And I love talking about it in a sense that I know that we don't talk about it. Isn't it interesting how we all are exposed to mental health issues, whether it's within our own selves, our family members, friends, or in our community? And I know that in the last couple months, we've had some pretty big tragedies happen due to mental illness. We've had people who have really gotten to a place in life where they believe that they are completely helpless. There is no hope of change. No one can help them. No one understands what's going on, and that they actually end their lives. And we've had that happen over the last couple of months in our community. And I've been thinking about that, but then I was over in the care center, and one of my friends came up who was a law enforcement officer, and he asked me about counseling, but then he was also asking me if I knew how many people had committed suicide just in law enforcement. And I hadn't thought about it, and he directed me to a website. And that website said, as of February 1st, 2019, 1 month in to this new year, that there were 15 verified suicides just in law enforcement. And I thought to myself, there's only 31 days in this year and already 15 people just in that population. But they use the word verified. And what they're saying is that we know these are suicides, but what they're also saying is there's many that have been labeled as accidents or something else, and there's probably many more. And of course, we've done two services before this, and the amount of people who have come up to me and said, I don't know if you realize how many people take their life every day as veterans. How many people take their life as young people? And so many people are walking up and saying about their people group that they know about who are ending their lives. It's such a prevalent issue that we have. And I think about our young people who run high risks because they feel so desperate at times and so alone, and they can't make it perfect and they can't do it right. And they start thinking those thoughts that they don't need to be here anymore. There's another high-risk population, which actually has become very relevant to me after speaking at two of these, and that is that the elderly. How many people who are senior citizens who are very, very lonely and think that they've done their time and they're over it? And through these last two services, I was amazed to hear how many people have thought that. That they're alone and they're older and their spouses have passed and there is just no purpose anymore. See, the thing I want to bring up is it doesn't matter if you're a believer, if you're a Christ follower, or if you're not, suicide and mental illness touches all of us. No matter what walk of life you come from, it touches all of us. And I know it's hard to talk about. I know that today some of you have walked in here and you're just not okay. I don't know if you were with us. I don't know how long ago it was when Pastor David said, it's okay to not be okay. It's just not okay to stay that way. And it is okay to not be okay because life happens and it's unpredictable and it's a roller coaster ride. But it's not okay to stay that way. And I have people over time since he has said that who have said to me, I play that sentence over and over in my head. I know he says it's not okay to stay that way, and I'm not choosing to stay that way. But I can't seem to get past what's going on. I can't get past the struggle. I'm still dealing with anxiety and depression. And I hear people who are believers and part of our church or other churches, and they say to me, you know, I feel bad for having depression or anxiety or mental illness. I mean, I know Jesus Christ as my Savior, and a lot of people say to me, Jesus is your Savior. You should just be happy. I mean, what do you have to be sad about? He saved you. That is not helpful. The truth is that we struggle. If you guys could just pick up your bootstraps, as you've probably been heard or told, or if you can just get it together, which I hear people tell other people, just pull yourself together, you'll be fine. Isn't it true that if you did pull yourself together and you had that ability and you could be fine, that I would be out of a job? We would do it if we could, wouldn't we? If it was just that easy to pull ourselves together and just make life okay, we would. Because most of us would do anything to change the negative self-talk. The language and the things that we think about other people, the anxiety, the depression, the things that haunt us, we would do anything to be relieved of that. And so I want to talk about this issue today. I want to talk about mental health, but I do not want to talk about it in a way in which we just throw out a bunch of stats. We highlight that people are depressed and anxious, and then you're like, great, I'm depressed and anxious, and then you go home. Because we can do that just by watching TV. What I want to do is look at mental health and the impact we make on our mental health by our relationship with God. By going deeper with God and how we can find peace in our mental health, in our depression, in our anxiety, in our thought process, when we go deeper with him. Because when we go deeper in our understanding with God, in our relationship with God, we choose to surrender all to him. And so we're going to look today at what it means to surrender what's going on, what it means to give it to him and allow God to rule our lives. So we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it's in the New Testament. It's right after Colossians, and it's written by Paul. Actually, the Apostle Paul wrote most of the New Testament. But when you read the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, you realize that Paul is really doing his best to encourage the Thessalonians that this new life they have in Christ, that Jesus died for them and that they accept him as Savior and he rose again, that he is alive and well, and that the spirit that they now have in them is the only power and the only spirit that can help them walk out the life of a Christ follower. That there's nothing in them that allows them to live the life that God created them to live. It is only by the Holy Spirit. And so after you read through, you get to the end of chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, and you start reading Paul's prayer for them. And it reads like this: Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. Paul is saying to them, now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. That word holy means whole. He's saying may every part of you be whole, complete. He's talking about sanctification, which is just a really big word to say that more and more we become holier and holier as we give ourselves to Christ. And when you think about it, it's not just, Paul's not just saying the parts that you think are broken. He's not saying, hey, if you don't like the way you look, just give that piece to God and he'll make that better. Or, hey, I don't like this thought process, so I'm just going to give that to God. He's saying give all of ourselves surrendered and completely devoted to Christ. Because he says, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. I guess I wonder, do we really, really believe that God wants us to be healed? Do we really, really believe that God cares about the struggles that we have in life? I think a lot of people think that God forgets about them. I think a lot of people believe that, well, I'm too much of a mess, so we probably moved on to the neighbor. But the truth is God never gives up on us. And when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, in that moment when we say, I need a Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and we have new life. And I know many people are like, he came, but my life is still a struggle. It takes time. And it takes something that I don't know how much we really talk about. And that is, we talk a lot about Jesus being our Savior. That we want everybody to be saved. And absolutely 100%, I agree. There are people I love in this life who do not know him yet. But the Bible says and calls Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. In order to surrender all, in order to continuously be more and more holy, Jesus has to be our Lord and our Savior. Because what happens when Jesus becomes Lord? Aren't we saying that he becomes King? Aren't we saying that all of a sudden he is the ruler of our life? Think about it. What would you say rules your life right now? Some of us are battling addiction and are saying that alcohol or drugs rules our lives. That our anger fuels us, and that's what we do. Our striving to be have more and to be wealthy, that gets us up in the morning. What gets me up in the morning is that I've already lost 10 pounds, so now maybe I'll lose 10 more. But can you imagine if you woke up in the morning and what got you out of bed is because you cannot wait to sit with your Lord and Savior. You cannot wait to do his will. You cannot wait to say, good morning, Lord. Here I am. And to live according to what he has for us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And some people have asked me, the power of the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? What's the difference between the power of the Holy Spirit and our spirit? The spirit that lives in us after we accept Christ as Savior. Let's look at it this way. If you believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose again, the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the spirit that lives in you. Have you thought about that? The spirit that defeats death and breathes life lives in each and every one of us who accept him as Lord and Savior. That spirit transforms all of who we are. And what it takes is for us to bring our thoughts, our mental health, our mind, our depression, our anxiety, we bring it to him, and every day, every moment if it takes, we constantly are saying, God, here I am, I'm giving it to you. And I know we give what we understand. We give away what we understand. Sometimes we say, I gave it to him once and nothing happened. You gotta give and give and give. It's kind of like forgiveness. We forgive what we understand. But we keep coming back to it until it's totally forgiven. We keep coming back to the Lord and asking him to redeem us and to take our struggles, to fill us with his spirit, to live more and more by him until we are healed and whole, until our brains and our minds are rewired, until we actually have that time in our lives where we realize that we've had less negative thoughts about ourselves. Do we have less angry, quick reactions to those who offend us or say something we don't like? Where we realize we have a greater patience and wisdom in this world that we never had before because we kept giving ourselves to him. We need the Spirit. We can only live this life by God's Spirit because in our own will, we can't do it. If we could, we would. I get concerned nowadays Because a lot of times we tell people, just be happy. You should just choose happiness. Just choose to be joyful. Just choose a feeling. But will a feeling really get us through our lives? Will a feeling really just repair all that's going on? When I choose to be happy when I wake up in the morning and I say, I'm going to choose to be happy, and an hour later I'm a cranky bear, did I not mean it an hour before? No, I did. But we cannot put all our eggs in the feelings basket. Our feelings are not meant to dictate our lives. We are supposed to have them. God created us to feel, and they help us guide. But we can't live by feelings alone. Now, for those of you who are saying, I do not do that. I'm not a feelings person. I think everything through. I am a thought person. Well, not everything you think is truth. Not everything you think about the person who cut you off on the way here today is true about that person. Not everything you think about how you look when you came in today or how you got dressed is true. Do you realize that you don't have to believe everything that you think? We have to be careful when we put all our eggs in one or the other. The truth is God created us to be whole, whole people, where our minds and our body and our soul and our spirit are operating all in surrendering to Him, as Him being our Lord and our Savior. Now, I want to be really careful with what I'm saying. Because I know that some of you are saying that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and you're still battling depression. You're still having panic attacks. You still think really angry thoughts. You're still struggling. And I want you to hear me really, really clearly. There is nothing more important in life than to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. To walk out this life by the power of the Holy Spirit and to be transformed by that Spirit. But I will not tell you that life is going to be smooth sailing after that. I will not tell you that because you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior that you're just good now. That you can go off your medications, that you don't need counseling, that you don't need to do anything, and everything's just a party from here on out. Life is a struggle. Life is a battle. Life will always be a battle. And so I want you to know that what I'm asking and what I'm challenging us to do is to surrender. Not to give up on the things that God has put in our lives to help us get even in this room today. But to surrender all we have to Him and to trust Him and to say, here I am. I'm tired of controlling me. I'm tired of worrying about everyone else and trying to control them. I surrender it to you. Because when we surrender, we receive a peace that we can't find anywhere else in life, nowhere in this world except from God. In the Gospel of John, which is in the beginning of the New Testament, Jesus tells his disciples in chapter 14, verse 27, he says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. We cannot find that peace anywhere else in this world. Anything that brings us peace or moments of comfort are temporary. The only thing that lasts, the only thing that rewires our brains, the only thing that transforms our lives is Jesus. The Holy Spirit living in our lives, transforming us. And I guess I'm wondering, do we want to be transformed? It can happen. I'm glad that people are saved, but can you imagine if they become the people that Christ died for and the way they are supposed to walk and live? Transformed from the inside out, where we receive so much grace, where we fully embrace forgiveness. We realize a God that we serve loves us so much, so intensely. He would do anything, including sacrificing His own Son, so He can talk and relate and love you. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of God that I want us to know. But the struggle is going to be there, and the struggle is real. And I love how the Bible addresses it. I was looking up like our thought process in the Bible. I was amazed at how many times the Bible addresses how we should focus our minds, where we should put our thoughts, how we need to focus on things that are pure, full of joy. How many times it says, fix your eyes on things above. I'm like, man, obviously God knows that our minds are a battlefield. Obviously. But there was nothing greater about a struggle than when Paul shares his struggle and his struggle with his will and sin and trying to do what God wants to do. In Romans, Paul writes about this in chapter 7. And so I took out some of it to read to you, but I challenge you to read it in chapter 7. It starts in verse 14 to 25. But Paul says this, I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. Can we relate to that? But then you get all the way down. And in verse 25, Paul says this. And I want you to remember, the Apostle Paul wrote the most of the New Testament. And he says this, oh, what a miserable person I am. And he knows, Paul knows what God says about him. He is loved. He is the son of the Most High God. He is the son of a king. And yet he calls himself miserable. The battle of how we talk about ourselves. But then he says, who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? And then he says this, thank God, the answer is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The answer is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That is where our answer lies when we are struggling. The challenge we have is, will we push through the storm? Will we continue the good fight? Will we battle until we find healing, until God brings us out the other side? Will we do it? I talked to someone recently who said, I will never, ever make another resolution. I never, ever will set up another goal because I don't even get 2 weeks in and it's already over with. And she was super frustrated. She's like, I don't know why I bother. I am never going to change. Every year I want to be a new you. She's all, I want to be a new me, new year. She's all, hey, here I am. I'm still the same person from last time. So I challenged her. Is she doing it in her will? Is a resolution what God asked her to find and to achieve? Are we seeking what he has for us? Are we trying to power through and please the people around us? Are we trying to find peace and approval from the world? Or are we trying to be the people that God called us to be? If we're willing to fight and go through this storm, I want you to know that God will follow and stay with you the entire time. Because Paul says in verse 24 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. God will finish what he started. When he says that I want you to bring your whole self to him and that may the peace of God happen, it's because God will not give up. He will see us through the storms, but we have to be able to push through so we can become the new creation that he wants us to be. Think about the times you've gone all the way through. The times that you fought. Didn't you learn so much? Didn't you realize I'll never do that again? Didn't you realize the most important thing and that God is faithful? I know that people came here today and they're not okay. I know that people came here today and they have family members that are not okay. They have friends that are not okay. And so what I want to do in the next couple minutes is I want us to worship together. I'm going to ask you all to stand. And as we sing this song, I want you to think about the words that are being sung. But more importantly, if you're not okay, that you would take the risk and that you would come up here to the altar. And you can kneel or you can stand, you can cry, you can do whatever you want, you can raise your hands, but that you say, I surrender it to you, Lord. We have people who will come up and they will pray with you. Maybe you're okay right now. Praise God. But maybe you know someone who isn't. We call it standing in the gap. What about coming down here and standing on their behalf and allowing us to pray for that person through you? We're gonna sing for a few minutes. And if you always, there's people who tell me, I thought the song was gonna end, so I didn't come forward. Come on down. There is no better time than now. So let's worship together.
The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned in glory now. The Savior knelt to wash our feet. Now at his feet we bow. The one who wore our sin and shame, now robed in majesty. The radiance of perfect love now shines for all to see. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. The fear that held us now gives way to Him who is our breath upon the cross is now alive in me. Sing your name. Your name, your name is victory. Your praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name, your name is victory. Your praise will rise to Christ our King. Oh, let it rise, let it rise to Him. And by your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. Go, the resurrected King. declare it today. Your name is victory, and all praise will rise to Christ our King. Oh, so by your spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting.
People are still praying, and so I ask that you just keep praying. Right now, even if you didn't come forward but you need prayer, raise your hand and someone around you will lay their hands on you and they will pray for you. As you see the hands go up, just feel, if you feel blessed, you feel ready, just pray for someone. It doesn't take any special person to pray, it just takes faith. But as we leave here tonight, this morning, I pray that we would all know Him, that we would surrender everything that we have to Him. If you still want prayer, to come forward, we will pray for you. This is the time. It is not too late. But as you go this morning, may you continue to call Him Lord. Thank you for Him being your Savior, and may we be transformed people where we bring the kingdom of heaven here on earth. So in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may you be blessed. Amen and amen.